This is the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray, episode 44.
Welcome to the Soulful PR Podcast. Tune in every week for practical tips, strategies, and case studies that will help you get media coverage for your business. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello, and welcome to the show. In this episode, I'm going to share three common PR gaffes that I see people making that not only make it more difficult for them to get coverage in magazines, in newspapers, and on radio and TV, but can also alienate them from their customers or their clients. So before we get to the main part of the show, I just wanted to mention something I'm quite excited about. I have mentioned it on a few previous episodes, but that's my Facebook community. I've really been ramping things up in there. I really wanted to create a space where people could come and look at every aspect of promoting their business or brand, from traditional media to marketing to social media. And the group is just shaping up so well. There's some great businesses and brands in there, some great ideas, some great questions. So if you're interested in being part of that, the URL is facebook.com/groups/soulfulPR community. That's facebook.com/groups/soulfulPR community. And I will link to that in the show notes. And I have to say, I'm going to keep this episode fairly short. Well, I'm going to try to anyway. I am absolutely tired out because I spent a brilliant week in Hong Kong and the Philippines. I was there for Chris Ducker's Tropical Think Tank. You may remember that I interviewed Chris in episode 19, I think it was, of the podcast about how to build a great personal brand. And Chris is an entrepreneur, a podcaster, a blogger, and he just put on the most amazing event for us out there. There were 50 other entrepreneurs and business owners, nine really fantastic speakers. And it was sun and sand and beach and boat trips all in amongst that. And I had the most fantastic week talking business with other people who like geeking out on the same topic. And it's all absolutely fabulous. And I'm just full of ideas for how to grow my business. I'll link to that in the show notes as well, because I know Chris will be looking for people or certainly promoting the event for next year very, very soon. So if you like the idea of spending nigh on a week with loads of other business owners and entrepreneurs and brainstorming, then you could do a lot worse than going out to Tropical Think Tank. It really was probably the best training event that I've been to for quite some time, if not ever. And I'm also off to Kuwait to deliver some training in a few days' time. So I feel like my feet haven't touched the ground, hence keeping this episode pretty short, but hopefully with some actionable tips. So now on with the main part of the show. So in this episode, I'm going to talk about three common PR gaffes that I see people making, which not only can put the media off wanting to work with you, but can also repel potential clients. And they're all, you'll be pleased to know, easily avoided. So the first one is using contact pages or forms on your website. So I can totally understand why people do this. So if you're getting a lot of emails and a lot of it is not that relevant, or people who you don't feel are serious about doing business with you, then it can seem like a sensible way of sorting the wheat from the chaff. So if you get everybody to fill out a form that says exactly what they want and how they might want to work with you, or how they might want to use a call with you, or whatever it might be, then that's a way of making sure that you don't get time wasters. However, if you think about it from a busy journalist's point of view, well, I can talk from personal experience on this. As a busy journalist working to deadline, I get put on a story and suddenly I find I need to speak to an expert on deep sea diving or whatever it might be. So I Google deep sea diving, I find your website, I find that you are an expert in deep sea diving. I'm really excited because that means I'm going to be able to make my deadline. You look like the perfect person. I go to the contact page on your website and then there's a blooming form to fill out. Immediately I click off and I go and find somebody else because I'm so busy. I just don't have time to be filling out forms. And in fact, what I recommend to my clients to do is, if you're really serious about getting media coverage, if you want to be that go-to media person, is to actually have a contact phone number that people can get you on 24/7, put that on your website, put it on your Twitter profile, on all your other social media profiles, so that journalists can get hold of you. Now, I'm not saying that you put your personal mobile phone number on there. You can if you want to, but you may prefer to have an answering service or send it straight to voicemail, whatever it might be. but journalists want to feel that they can get hold of you and get hold of you quick. And I think that it's a real turn off. And I think most journalists will see a contact form and they'll immediately go and look for somebody else because it just feels like too much time when you're busy. Now, when it comes to prospective clients, I can totally see how a contact form might be better, getting some people to fill something out before they, you know, book a consultation call with you or something like that. Yes, great. But I think you need to find a way of doing that that doesn't repel the media. So you need to maybe have two contact sections or something like that, or on your contact page you have, you know, if you're from the media, call this number. If you're looking to work with me, fill out this form, something like that. You need to find a way around it. But certainly you're going to be reducing your chances of getting the media to work with you if you have a contact form on your website. The second mistake that I see people making is using Twitter automated messages. And I think the whole point is that most of us want to do business with people. We want to do business with people that we like. And there's something very impersonal about you follow someone on Twitter and then you get this automated message which says, hey, thanks for following me and go and check out my website here. And I think most of us, we love that personal touch. We like to feel we're making a genuine connection with somebody, and it just feels a little bit false. And, you know, if time was no object, I personally would like to send a little personal message to everybody that follows me. I mean, if you're just starting out on Twitter, actually, I would recommend that you do that. You send everybody a little personal message, or some of the people that follow you, if it's a person that you think you would like to connect with, then there's no harm in that. But I think most of us find it a bit of a turn off if we follow someone on Twitter and then we get an automated message. And the last thing is kind of related, and this is email autoresponders. I'm seeing a lot of this, particularly from online business owners. So when I email somebody, I don't know, to pitch a podcast interview or something, and you'll get an email back that's an autoresponder that says something basically on the lines of, I'm a very busy person, I don't have time to interact with people. So if you're emailing about this, then my assistant will email you back. If you're emailing about this, this will happen. And basically kind of goes through a series of scenarios which are designed to kind of put a barrier up between you and them. Now, again, I can totally see why you might do this. I know from personal experience it can be quite overwhelming when people are emailing you, they're asking for free advice, and maybe not, you know, I get emails from people sometimes where they might send me a really long email with a really specific question that would probably take me about an hour to respond to. And, you know, I think most of the time they probably haven't even thought about that. They've just kind of thought, oh, I'll just send off this email. So it can be difficult to manage because there's only so many hours in the day. You do want to reach out and respond to people. But I think that there's something, again, like the Twitter DM, it's like something quite cold and impersonal about having an email autoresponder like that. I think it's probably a good idea to have one if you're a busy person, but why not just have it say, thanks for your email, just to let you know we've received it and we'll be in touch within 24 hours. If you haven't heard from us, then drop my assistant Jen a line, or, you know, thanks so much for getting in touch. I think you have to remember that I think sometimes people build communities online and they get a certain level of success and then they almost start to put the barriers up, and actually the community is often, well, the people in your community are the people that get you to that place where you're so busy and you're so successful that you don't have time to reply to every email. So I think to just kind of, you know, switch that off and cut that off does feel a little bit impersonal and maybe doesn't send out quite the right message about you or your brand. And also it repels journalists as well. So if I email you, a story's come up that I know you've got expertise on, and I find your website and I email you and I'm desperately looking just for a quick comment from you and I can't find a number on the site. Now, in lots of cases, most journalists would click off anyway at that point. But if I've stuck in there and I've emailed you and then I get the autoresponder, that's it. I'm not interested anymore. If I get a nice, pleasant autoresponder that says, you know, we aim to respond to queries within so long, I might kind of stick with it. But if I get a kind of impersonal autoresponder, I'm going to think to myself, there's not a chance, move on to the next person. So not only is it repelling potential customers or clients, or maybe even your existing customers or clients, but it's also possibly repelling journalists. So I'd love to know what you think about this advice. This is, you know, my personal advice from my experiences and from the experience of my clients. You may well have different views on this, so I'd love to know what you think. If you want to drop me a line, I'm on janet@janetmurray.co.uk, or you can tweet me @jan_murray, Instagram janmurrayuk, or Facebook janetmurrayuk. I'm always interested to hear your views. You've been listening to the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray. If you enjoyed the show, do head over to the show notes at janetmurray.co.uk/episode44. That's janetmurray.co.uk/episode44.
You've just been listening to the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray. If you enjoyed the show, she'd really appreciate you leaving a review on iTunes. And don't forget to head over to www.janetmurray.co.uk for more free content that will help you get media coverage for your business.